From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Damon Abdallah reading Seattle Run, Book 14 in the End World series by David Robbins. Now, let's begin with the prologue. High ground. He needed high ground. Captain Nathan Dale paused, perspiration beading his furrowed brow despite the chill January breeze, and he scanned his surroundings for a suitable spot. His tattered uniform, now little more than strips of fabric clinging to his battered, pale skin, did nothing to ward off the cold. He surveyed the decayed, dilapidated structures nearest him, seeking somewhere high above the ruins of the city once known as Seattle, to increase his chance of success. "Hurry!" his mind shrieked. "Manta will be after you!" Dale's naked feet padded on the cracked sidewalk as he hurried to the northwest, away from the Humarium, away from Pier 59. How far had he gone, he wondered. Not far enough. From the rear, perhaps 50 yards distant, wafted a loud, shrill whistle. They were coming after him. Frowning in frustration, Dale rounded a corner and glanced to the north. A cluster of buildings met his gaze, and even in the dark he recognized the configuration of the architectural marvel dominating the gloomy, oppressive landscape. The Space Needle. Another whistle sounded behind him. The Space Needle would be ideal for his purpose. Dale ran toward the needle, feeling the backpack he'd stolen sway back and forth as the shortwave inside shifted with each step. He should have adjusted the straps tighter, but there simply hadn't been time. The wind increased, stirring his long brown hair. Dale vividly recalled the first time he'd seen the Space Needle, as his ship, the destroyer CN-003, had sailed into Elliott Bay. During the ship's navigation of Puget Sound, he had been preoccupied on the bridge, and he hadn't bothered to note any of the landmarks until the destroyer had passed West Point. Now, as he jogged in the direction of his possible salvation, Dale tried to remember all he could about this particular section of the former metropolis. "Think!" he goaded himself. He'd attended several briefings on the layout of Seattle before departing San Francisco, and the pertinent facts came back to him in a rush as he passed the benighted Pacific Science Center. The Space Needle was 605 feet high, perfect to broadcast from. It was situated in the 74-acre Seattle Center, or what was left of the center after more than a century of abandoned neglect. Most of the buildings had been extensively damaged by the elements during the intervening 105 years. The quarter moon overhead provided scant illumination, just enough to accentuate the stark barrenness of the relics from a bygone era, and to emphasize the glory which once was. A feral dog howled far off to the east. Dale slowed slightly, reminding himself not to become careless. Manta and his cronies weren't the only danger lurking in Seattle. There were the sharks, the wild animals, and, of course, the bestial mutants in their many bizarre shapes and sizes. He certainly didn't want to blunder into one of them, not at night, not when he was unarmed. Fortunately, the sharks seldom ventured west of Interstate 5, and the wild animals and their genetically deviant kin, the mutated fauna so prevalent since World War III, were not very numerous near the water. Manta and company saw to that. Dale's chest was aching, the consequence of his prolonged imprisonment. 4 months of improper nutrition and enforced labor had taken their toll on his once robust physique. An acute pain lanced his left side as he neared his destination. The Space Needle seemed to reach the very stars. The saucer-shaped dome at the top, like the rest of Seattle, was enveloped by an inky nocturnal veil. The metal tower supporting the dome, once polished and gleaming as a lure to countless tourists, had long since lost its luster, and the concave framework appeared to be tilting several degrees to the west. Dale stopped at the base of the needle, catching his breath, doubled over. How in the world was he going to get to the top? Broadcasting from the needle's pinnacle would serve to minimize potential interference from the nearby structures, but the task of ascending the tower without the aid of an elevator promised to tax his diminished strength to the utmost. But what other choice did he have? None. Dale moved along the bottom of the tower,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?